It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo is right, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. It is not only hump day, it is also wings day at Hooters. Restaurants. They have five locations. That would be Westminster and Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. To go or dine in, you buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. Those smoked wings are half the calories, so you don't have to feel guilty while you're eating those. So be sure and check that out. It is Wings Day at Hooters Restaurant, Steve.
You know what other day it is?
What?
June 30th, 2021, after today, will be officially half over.
Can you believe it?
That's why I don't take the Christmas lights down.
So you're the first one in the neighborhood that has your Christmas lights up.
Last one to take them down, first one to put them up. No, not really, but that, you get the idea. Where does the time go?
It, as my dad always said, time marches on, it stops for no one. And that is why each and every day you've got to make it count. I so appreciate each and every one of you for joining us, for listening. I know our audience is growing. I continue to hear from more and more people. And you know that we are an independent voice, and we are searching for truth and clarity as we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. It's not about free stuff. The free stuff is just a carrot to get you to vote for it. As Maggie Thatcher said, the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of everybody else's money, somebody else's money. And we are in a time right now in our country. But I do appreciate you guys, each and every one of you joining us and this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and our most recent podcasts. We had two excellent op-eds in this last newsletter. They're now on my website. And one is by author Alan Thomas, that school choice is half the issue. And the other one, which was trending as the number one piece, if you go in and you do a web search for Colorado Initiative 25, Patty Kirgan's op-ed is the first one that comes up. I would highly recommend that you take a look at that because she really has delved into this Colorado Initiative 25 and some really fine people have their names on the endorsement page right now. And I think that they've been sold that this is potentially has some voucher, school voucher possibilities, which that's great if you, school choice is really important. But if you really read it, and if you really look at the people that's behind it, and that is Mike Johnson, former Democrat senator here in Colorado. He ran for governor. And the Gary Foundation, which is a left-leaning foundation, they're the ones that are really proponents of this. And I tell you, you can't dance with the devil and think that you're not going to get burned. Or you can't play with fire and think you're not going to get burned, Steve.
Well, Patty was with us Monday, and we walked through this thing, and I kind of took it all in. And then yesterday, you talked about that page where you're seeing these names show up?
The endorsement page.
Endorsement page, I'm sorry. And actually, I find some of those names kind of disconcerting or disappointing. Now, again, you said maybe there's a possibility of vouchers, and that's the reason that they're throwing their support behind it. But the basic tenet still stinks.
Well, it really does. And so we are in the process of reaching out to some of these really fine people that have their names on that endorsement page and explaining what it really is. Because, my friends, this is just a big lesson. And that is, don't put your name on something, don't sign a petition, and don't vote if you don't know what the issues are. And we've gotten, I think, gotten away from that. We've trusted that somebody else said that this was a good idea, and so they put their names on that. So we are in the process of having a conversation because there's some really, really good people that have their names on that, and I'm not quite sure that they've had a chance to really, really read that. But go to my website because that piece is on the website, and it's important for you to be informed. You have a civic duty to know what's going on. And our job here is we're looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. We've got a great show planned for you. We're going to talk with Lauren Levy at the bottom of the hour. And I always love talking with Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group about things when we're focused on our founding, because he grew up in Boston. And Boston is a place that is just has so much history there. And so we'll talk with him at the bottom of the hour. And then Joshua Dunn, he is a professor. He's the chair of the Department of Political Science and director of the Center for the Study of Government and the Individual at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. And he's done a ton of research on a variety of things. But de Tocqueville is, he's an expert on that. So we're going to talk with him about de Tocqueville and the American idea. So stay tuned. That's going to be great, Steve. I can see you're excited about that.
Now, is he Professor Dunn?
He is.
Okay. I admire him because we've had him on before. He's good. I just don't know if I want to sit in the seat that he sits in.
Well, yeah, a lot has changed since the last time we had him on the show, for sure. Hey, you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we are searching for truth and clarity on this. Be sure and check out America's Veterans Stories. That's this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. and 10 to 11 p.m. We've done an interview with retired Army Major General Joe Arbuckle. We're going to do another interview with him regarding his service. He's a Vietnam veteran. But we talked about our founding and where we are in America today. And we are in a 1776 moment. He says our country is in deep peril. And it takes your breath away, but it is true.
I have to, I'm not laughing about anything to do with the show on Sunday, but when we were recording him, maybe it's my time in the military. You know, when you're talking to a military man of some level of position, he just talks with such authority.
Yes. And I met him up at Cooper's Troopers, which is that group of combat Marines that meets up in Arvada once a month, and really have gotten to know a lot of the people there. And General Arbuckle had presented, and he was going to talk about, and he did talk about his military service, but he said, first and foremost, we have to talk about right now. And he said, when retired Marine General James Mattis came out against Trump, the mainstream media just was all over that, trying to make it look like the military disliked Trump. And at that point, General Arbuckle contacted a number of flag officers, that's your admirals and your generals, and they signed a letter to push back on that Mattis narrative. And now they've moved on. They now have Flag Officers for America, the number 4. Check it out. And he has a template for what we as everyday people can do to make sure that we conserve and preserve our American idea. And that is going to be an excellent interview. That is Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. and 10 to 11. It seemed very appropriate, Steve, that our quote for today would be from de Tocqueville. And Patty and I were having a conversation, and she said, you know, that this quote has been attributed to de Tocqueville, but you cannot verify that he actually said that. And I asked Professor Dunn about that as well, and he said, that's true. However, still, if you do a search for it, it comes up that de Tocqueville said this. And even if he didn't, he probably could have, would have. He maybe said it and he didn't write it down, But I think it still is very, very appropriate. And Alexis de Tocqueville, he's known as Tocqueville, was a French aristocrat, diplomat, political scientist, political philosopher, and historian. He's best known for his works, Democracy in America and the Old Regime and the Revolution. He was born in 1805. He died in 1859. And this is what he said. "Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." And we are at a defining moment in our history right now. That is for sure. So, Steve, I'd like to go to break early so that we can go through some of these headlines, because this one on Colorado housing is one that we really want to connect some dots on. So this is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds and podcasts. And come around just after we get through this Independence Day holiday, as we move into the first part of August, we will be ramping up our podcasts as well. I've been creating a studio where we're actually going to be able to do video podcasts, and that's going to be very, very cool. I wanted to go to this first headline here, and I want to do a little dot connecting for you. During the break, you heard that ad for Karen Levine, RE/MAX Alliance, about how home ownership has been a great way for everyday people to create wealth. And as we've looked at what the World Economic Forum, their goal is by 2030, that you will own nothing and you're going to be happy about it. Well, who are they to say? But as we look at public policy, really beginning in the 70s, we have seen a continual kind of picking winners and losers. And the losers is always the middle class. You look at the policies and the legislation that has come out of the legislature here in Colorado over the past number of years, particularly when we've had Democrats in power. And it's a continual assault on the middle class. There is the elites, and then they always talk about, and you can use the term disadvantaged or poor, poverty, all of these things. And so there's legislation that those that are defined like that get special stuff. They get free lunches for their kids. They're going to get special rates to go to our parks. Housing, they get special deals there, affordable housing. If you make less than a certain amount, then you don't have to pay the full fare of housing. But as we have peeled this back, we've realized, and we're going to talk about housing, that housing has become more and more unaffordable because of public policy and rules and regulations. And it just makes housing more and more expensive. So if we really want to get serious about making housing affordable, then we need to start to look at public policy and get rid of rules and regulations and urban growth boundaries and all of those kinds of things. But I think that Republicans have been complicit here in Colorado. Colorado is the petri dish for what has been happening on a public policy standpoint. And I think that Republicans have been complicit in this. I was speaking with someone a week or so ago, and she said, Kim, I think Republicans have a messaging problem. And that may be true. The problem is many Republicans don't understand the message. And the message is that as conservatives, we are here to conserve and preserve. Take that word back, conserve and preserve. The American idea. That idea that all men are created equal by God with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. But we're seeing public policy that wants to divide us by color and all kinds of other descriptors. But as Calvin Coolidge said, if we're all created equal, then that is final. But if we adhere to that ideal, that promise, with this idea that we're all created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, then all those PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, they lose their power. So there's a report that came out. This was highlighted in the Center Square, and I really do need to read the complete report, but it's by the Common Sense Institute. And it released a report. It says the state needs to develop more than 51,000 new housing units annually to meet demand. New residential construction in the state is 46% behind the national average, according to the report. A couple of things here. First of all, how is it that a report says something? I need to see if anybody has signed this report so that we know who's talking about this. But does the state need to develop this, or does the state need to get out of the way? Does government need to get out of the way so that private enterprise can build these new housing units that we need? We need people that are out there advocating for free market solutions instead of looking to government to change this. The report goes on and is quoted as saying, we need transformational changes. I tell you, whenever I see the word transformational, that I remember somebody else that said something about transforming a nation. So they said, we need transformational changes that can bridge the divide we have in our communities that has led to a broken housing development value chain. The conclusions of this report offer practical solutions to break us from the status quo. While they require bold action from our state's housing leaders, again, I'm not sure that government should be the state housing leaders. We need a free market. Both in the public and private sectors, the time to act is now. Now, I wanted to just connect some dots for you. The Common Sense Institute is, and you should actually go and take a look at the board of directors and the management of this. And there's a number of big name Republicans that are involved with this particular group. And I am a bit frustrated that they are not looking for, they're not, at least from what I can see, looking for free market solutions, advocating for government to get out of the way. They're looking for bigger and bigger government. And that has been a problem here in Colorado. The executive director of this particular group is a very smart woman. Her name is Kristen Strom. And she also has a company called Starboard Group, which is a big fundraising company that works with a number of Republican candidates. Back in, I want to say, 2015, I opened up the Denver Business Journal. It was around Christmas time. And she had written an editorial that basically said, good for Colorado for going after Jack Phillips. And Jack Phillips, you know, is the cake baker here in Lakewood that refused to bake a cake for a gay wedding, saying that was against his religious beliefs. And then, as you know, he was taken to court. The Colorado Civil Rights Commission came out and said to him, you have to do this. If you don't, you can't bake wedding cakes. And he said, okay, I'm not going to bake wedding cakes, which significantly changed his livelihood and his income. And that's why when I talk about it is never compassionate to take other people's livelihood through policy or rules and regulations, I think exactly about Jack Phillips and the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. Again, the word commission, that's a bureaucracy. It's not your elected representatives. And I looked at that and I thought, oh my gosh, here we have influential Republicans that are lauding the actions of the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. And I thought, I need to write an op-ed to push back on this. And that is what I did. And so I am just, I'm connecting these dots so that you can understand establishment here in Colorado that have really looked to the grassroots as their worker bees, but actually have been pushing policies that are big government solutions, taking away our freedoms. And then the other dot to connect is another very influential operative here in Colorado who has EIS Solutions is Kristen's husband, and that is Josh Penry. And he is very involved in campaigns and elections here. And bear in mind that typically consultants can make anywhere from 10, 15 to 20% of the different campaigns that they're working on. So, for example, this particular campaign on Initiative 25, it looks like that there's at least $1 million that's already coming into that. So the consultants that are working on that will be making probably $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 on that, whether or not they win or lose. And so I think it's important that we connect this dot because we need to start to hold what's going on here in Colorado accountable. And the answer for what is going on in housing here in Colorado is not a government answer. We need to start to advocate to get government out of the way. And when they come in and they pay for affordable housing, what that does is that squeezes people who don't want to live off the government dole, the middle class. And this is once again that assault on the middle class that we have seen since the early 70s. And we are now at the flashpoint on this. And so I just I wanted to connect those dots for you and just stay tuned because we're going into this next election cycle.
And you did a masterful job of connecting the dots. There were several things that you just said in the last 4 or 5 minutes that make it incredibly clear.
Okay, that's a good thing. Let's move over here to you had a headline that you wanted to mention, and that is that California is targeting 5 red states, including Florida, with a ban on state-funded travel to those states, as Democrat California Attorney General Rob Bonta said they have passed laws directly targeting transgender youth. Arkansas, Florida, Montana, North Dakota, and West Virginia joined 12 other states that California has already targeted with a 2016 law, including Alabama, Idaho, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, and Texas. Says that means the leftist state has now banned state-funded travel to more than one-third of the United States, of the states in the United States. It says California must take action to avoid supporting or financing discrimination against lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender people. Bonta proclaimed, adding, make no mistake, we're in the midst of an unprecedented wave of bigotry and discrimination in the country, and the state of California is not going to support it. My friends, I cannot tell you how many parents, concerned parents, because what has been happening in the school day, our kids are falling behind. And why is that? Are we using the school day to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking, history, science? Or are we using the school day to teach the LGBTQ curriculum, as well as critical race theory, which divides people? And so it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if that is what you're using your hours in the school day for, and you're using the money. And we got $2.3 billion from the federal government here in Colorado, which I think is a big payoff for all the leftist stuff that we do for education. And then circle back here. I hate to say circle back. I used to
stop
do that.
To
Initiative 25, where they want to raise marijuana taxes 5%, and they say it's for the children. There is so much money in education But it's been indoctrination. And I've heard so many people that have said that their junior high girls think they're transgender. How is this? Why? It's because it's in media, it's in the culture, and it is in education, and we need to push back on that. But we are now, you want to say something?
Oh, I just, back to California and this idiocy. I mean, you gotta laugh.
You do and you don't, because our children are on the table on this.
Well, in terms of their travel ban, state-sponsored travel, that is, and or state-funded, that if you do the math, that's a total of 17 states or over mm-hmm. one-third of the rest of the nation that they're banning travel from. And I know their economy is already in shatters. What is the reason that their people would be traveling but for interstate commerce? And you're telling me you're going to snub interstate commerce because of this particular thing and or reason? I don't get it. I mean, they're already in the middle of a attempt to recall the governor. Like, all right, they're in this huge state of upheaval, but this is what matters to them.
Well, and that is one other thing. That's why election integrity is so important. But we are going to shift gears, because the second half of the show will be talking about the Big American Idea and de Tocqueville. And on the line with us is one of our great sponsors, and that is Lauren Levy. He's a sponsor of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories, and he grew up in Boston. And Lauren, I just wanted to talk a little bit with you this morning about the history that you grew up with.
Yeah, it's. I guess looking back, there's quite a bit of it, I realize.
You probably took it for granted that every kid in America would had the Freedom Trail in their backyard, but it wasn't the case. You probably didn't really realize all the history that happened in Boston when you were a kid, huh?
No, I mean, we definitely learned all about it for sure, but then it was when I was an adult that I go back now and take my kids and kind of realize, wow, this is all here and this stuff is really, really old.
It is. And don't you, sometimes, I remember the first time I was on the Freedom Trail in Boston, I just stood there and I thought, oh my gosh, if these stones could talk, if the conversations that were had, it kind of took my breath away.
I'm with you. I think the same thing. And you walk upon, you know, how they try to protect them now. So there's all these crossroads running through and this little schoolhouse in the way. And it's pretty amazing how they've preserved it all. And you're absolutely right. How these, like, you know, 10 or 20 people in this little schoolhouse helped frame America.
It is. It's remarkable, isn't it? It just is. So, hey, Lauren, update on interest rates, the Fed. What's happening this week?
Nothing new to report, which is good news. Rates are still down. The 10-year treasury is down, so things are doing well. Rates are still in the twos, and this is all good so far. So the Fed spoke last week. There was a little minor reaction to it, and then it's recovered now, and we're back where we were, which is what we've seen for the last, while now.
Okay. And we'll talk with Karen tomorrow, Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance. But we're hearing that there's a little bit of a cooling in the market here in the Denver metro area. So it would be a good idea to get pre-qualified if you're thinking about getting into this market.
Yeah, and it might actually, you know, the term cooling might actually be a decent thing this time around, just because it may give people an actual chance, you know, instead of having an offer on 15 homes and getting bidding wars, and you know, maybe they might get lucky and be able to find one, and that might encourage people to want to put their house on the market if they think they can find a replacement home. So we'll see if that leads to a better market.
Okay. And does it take very long for people to get pre-qualified?
No, it's about a 10-minute phone call, and we can get it done and then have people ready to go and on their way.
And how can people reach you, Lauren Levy?
The best way is to call 303-880-8881.
That's 303-880-8881. Lauren, I wish you and your family a very happy Independence Day, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, same to you, Kim. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back. We'll be talking with Joshua Dunn, and you won't want to miss this. He is an expert on de Tocqueville, and we'll talk about de Tocqueville and the American idea. Stay tuned.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And we are coming into Independence Day. That is, it's this Sunday. And it is one of my most favorite holidays of the year. And the more and more I learn about our history, we need to make sure that we bring it alive. And I would highly recommend that sometime this weekend that you sit down and read our Declaration of Independence. If you look at all of the usurpations that they were so concerned about with King George, there's a lot of that going on right now here in America. And also take a look at the Constitution. It doesn't take that long. I am thrilled to have on the line with me Joshua Dunn. He got his PhD from the University of Virginia, and he's the professor and chair of the Department of Political Science and director of the Center for the Study of Government and the Individual at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. He has research and teaching interests in public law, education policy, and political theory. His books include Complex Justice, The Case of Missouri versus Jenkins, From Schoolhouse to Courthouse, The Judiciary's Role in American Education, and Passing on the Right, Conservative Professors in the Progressive University. He also writes a quarterly article on law and education for the journal Education Next. Previously, he taught at the College of William and Mary and was a fellow in contemporary history, public policy, and American politics at the Miller Center of Public Affairs in Charlottesville, Virginia. Joshua Dunn, as I read this resume, I don't know how you can do that in one lifetime. Are you about 120?
Feel like it sometimes. No. It's you just have to be willing to deal with a lot of drudgery. I think that's the real key to success in academia.
Well, impressive. And I mean, there's so much that we could talk about. Let's stay focused here on de Tocqueville. We talked with you about him last year as well. And the American idea, so much has happened. And de Tocqueville traveled for 9 months with his best friend here in America. So tell people about de Tocqueville, because it's a really interesting story.
Certainly. So Alexis de Tocqueville, he was a French aristocrat, and as a young man, he wanted to come to the United States. Ostensibly, he wanted to come to study our prison system. But really what he wanted to do was to study the most democratic or egalitarian nation the world had ever seen, because what he saw was that there was this passion for equality that was sweeping across the globe, and he saw it coming, of course, to France, and in many ways it had already arrived in France. And what he recognized was that democracy, you could either have a democracy or an egalitarian social system premised on political equality that would protect freedom, or a democratic system that would undermine freedom. That democracy itself was not sufficient for creating a system of liberty. And so what he wanted to do was try to study America to see if there were any lessons that he could take back to France about how France could develop in a way that it would have a more democratic political system, but one that would also protect freedom. And so that's why he really came to the United States, to study liberty in this new democratic egalitarian age, to see what new threats there would be and how you could actually resist those threats or prevent those threats from taking root in a newly democratic society.
So what did he find out?
There are many extraordinary things that he saw in the United States. I would say that de Tocqueville was almost prophetic. Right? What he witnessed, what he saw from the 1830s in the United States, in many ways came true. It's I think, a tragedy that someone like de Tocqueville, who was so correct about his predictions, has not been read as widely as someone like Karl Marx, who was completely incorrect, but had a very wide following. But what Tocqueville saw was that the threat to democracy was not primarily going to come from some kind of revolutionary ferment as Karl Marx predicted. But then instead, what might naturally happen in a democracy is that people would vote away their freedom for security. And that was the biggest threat to the survival of freedom in a democracy, that what people would want would be physical security, that they would feel very uneasy in a democratic society, and they would want something to take care of them, to protect them, and something that also would not wound their pride. And what he saw that becoming would be the national government. And so people would look to the national government to take care of them, to protect them. But of course, that comes at the cost. If you surrender the authority to protect you to the national government, it becomes very difficult to reclaim that authority. And so once you give it away, it's almost impossible to claw back. So Tocqueville called this a new kind of despotism, a soft despotism or mild despotism, because you voted for it yourself, and so you think it's good for you. Now, the real threat then, though, is once you're in that position of a soft despotism, you are vulnerable to really any kind of invasion of your rights. And there's nothing that you can do. You're an isolated, weak individual who has become dependent upon this large tutelary power, he calls it, of the national government.
Joshua, so much has happened since we talked last year, and I don't normally give the end of the show quote, which I'll quote again, but this is from Alexis de Tocqueville. He said, "The American Republic will endure until the day Congress discovers that it can bribe the public with the public's money." That is very prophetic. It's happening now.
Right. So what he saw was that people would be tempted to say, please, in a way, protect us from ourselves, and surrender it to it. Do what you think is best for us, because we feel unsafe. I would actually say that the exact same psychological phenomenon we experienced after 9/11, because that was a period of material disorder, is how we did any kind of material disorder. He said the democratic people's dread. And so then they look to the government to simply make them feel safe, and don't really consider the cost and the long term cost. And that ends up being the once again, if once you've ceded this authority, and even if it does things that don't seem terribly destructive at the moment, once it has that power, there's nothing that then can stand in its way from doing something more destructive with it.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about the Patriot Act that came out of 9/11. And this was a surveillance, and I remember looking at this, and this has been a journey for me. I inherently I'm a freedom girl, but I looked at that and I thought, oh my gosh, this really looks like an overreach of government. But we had 9/11 over here, and I'm like, oh, but they say it'll help keep us safe. Okay, but man, as I look back at that, they haven't gotten rid of it. They've used it to spy on everyday hardworking Americans. And it was really a lesson to me that we need to stay true to these ideas of our founding and the things that guardrails that the founders put in place to keep government in this limited role. Of course, we're way out of that right now, but the Patriot Act was a big lesson for me on that, Joshua. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, so there were certainly some very concerning things about the Patriot Act. I think we were fortunate, though, that most of the Patriot Act was actually written well before 9/11. Now, Congress passed it, I think, a month or so after 9/11. I believe it was October of 2001. And you know, Congress can't tie its shoes in a month. So there was no way it was going to write the Patriot Act within a month. So what had been going on is that there had been officials in the Justice Department working on this, and then also working with members of Congress to develop it. It probably wasn't quite ready for showtime, but most of it had been written, and because they had been working on it for a while, some of the worst things. And so you look at the Patriot Act, you think, yes, there was overreach there, but think about how much worse it could have been. That's what, to me, that I almost feel grateful because if there had not been some legislation that had already been in the works for quite some time, you think about the American people, and I include myself in this, that we all felt extremely alarmed. And many of us would have been willing to write out vast portions of the Bill of Rights in order to feel secure. So the Patriot Act, yes, there were significant problems with it, but it wasn't nearly as destructive or as harmful as it could have been. I guess it's kind of a mixed bag. We were fortunate though that it had already been. Like I said, they've been writing it for a few years prior to 9/11 because it saved us from legislation that could have been far, far worse than it was.
I guess I'm glad about that, Joshua. I'm not sure. Before we go to break, we hear Joe Biden all the time talk about our democracy. We hear people say our democracy is at stake. Democracy, democracy, democracy. But we're a constitutional republic. But yet de Tocqueville talked about democracy in America. Break that down for us, Josh.
Certainly. So when he talked about democracy, in a way he was talking about two things. He's talking about both the system of government, but also a kind of ethos that permeated the society. And in a way, that's the most important part of it. So I think it's fair to say we're a constitutional republic with democratic elements. Right? So we have elections, which we regard as democratic components. But what Tocqueville saw is that the overwhelming passion of a democracy, the thing that gives it its vitality, is this idea of equality. And in America, that is political equality. It's supposed to be political equality. And that political equality means the equal right to vote, but also equality in our rights and in our liberty. And then, of course, what he was afraid was that this passion for equality would metastasize into a dangerous kind of love for democracy or equality, which would be a passion for complete social equality at the expense of our liberty. That we would want everything to be completely equal and not worry about our fundamental equality, which should be our equality and our liberty and our rights.
Wow. Okay, we're talking with Joshua Dunn. This conversation's going way too quickly. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about de Tocqueville and 2021 America. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tools, a great sponsor of the show, and they are a family-owned business. They're located in Sedalia, Colorado. And if you're going to be going to a wedding, great place to get a wedding gift. I've gotten several different beautiful knife sets in the bride and groom. We're so grateful for that. If you're a collector or if you are a sportsman or a chef, Castlegate Knife and Tools, the place for you. Their website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we return, we'll continue the conversation with Dr. Joshua Dunn. He is the professor and chair of the Department of Political Science at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Having an important conversation with Joshua Dunn. He is the professor and chair of the Department of Political Science and director of the Center for the Study of Government and the Individual at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. That's probably a whole show in itself, just talking about that. But Joshua Dunn, 2021 America. We've gone through the reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus. Governor Polis has issued over 400 executive orders. What would de Tocqueville think about what's happening right now?
Yeah, so I think that Tocqueville would say that the coronavirus and the response to it fed into some of the worst tendencies of a democracy, particularly when it comes to threats to our freedom. Now, he wouldn't say that, look, if there's some kind of pandemic that you can't make reasonable choices in trying to protect the public from the pandemic, he would have never said that. But the long-term response, I think he would find very concerning, because one of the things that he thinks is most dangerous about a democracy is our tendency to isolate ourselves. And when we isolate ourselves into our own little homes and don't interact with actual real people, that also has the effect of making us even more dependent and feeling more dependent and vulnerable. And so, of course, if you force people to isolate for an entire year, that feeds into that psychology. And so I think that he would regard that as an extremely dangerous development, one that over the long term could have very damaging effects to us, because again, people were kind of at least we had social media, which is a poor substitute for actual interaction with real human beings, but at least we had some of that. But still, we were essentially forced to stay home by ourselves, and of course there was this general sense of alarm that was created over the coronavirus, and that then also makes you feel vulnerable and weak and want to be protected, and be willing to surrender all sorts of liberties in order to regain that sense of security. So I think that he would find what's happened over the past year to be deeply concerning, even though he probably would have said, look, at the initial stages of it, you got to figure out what's going on. It's possible for government to take precautions, those kinds of things. But the long term, I think he would find it very, very dangerous.
So, Joshua, what we've seen is a movement towards socialism, and socialism ultimately comes down to force. It's not about free stuff. That's the carrot that gets people to vote for that. And of course, we have questions about election integrity that we're addressing throughout the country as well. But where we are with this big grab of power by many, primarily in the blue states, the blue cities, how are we going to walk this back, Joshua?
So I think we have to hope that the character of the American people remains as it was, and that there is this germ or desire for freedom in the hearts of most Americans. I do think there is reason for optimism. I think much of that comes from the response of parents to what happened to their children over the past year, because they saw the harmful consequences of what was being done to their kids, often without any real basis in science. And so I think that the response of parents to demand that their governments be more responsive to their concerns, particularly when it came to their schools, it gives me some cause for hope. Of course, in the long run, if you just keep printing money, someone's going to have to pay for it eventually. And it might be that we just have to have some tough medicine, that at some point the printing press will stop. Perhaps we're already seeing the beginning, the onset of dangerous levels of inflation. And it might just be that we have to have a reckoning with that in some way, in the same way that we had to have in the 1970s when we experienced significant inflation. Americans just had to realize that there was no such thing as a free lunch. We couldn't just keep printing money in this way. And we're going to have to tighten our belts some.
And do you do much research on China? A vulnerability to China that may be somewhat unique from back in the 70s. What's your thoughts on that, Joshua?
Sure. So I'm not, I can't say that I'm an expert on China, but I will say that I think we've all come to recognize, and this is something, this is also, I think, some reason for optimism, is that I think now there's actually a bipartisan recognition that, that China is not our friend, or at least not necessarily our friend. For a long time, there was this hope that if we engaged in trade with China, as they liberalized their economy, moved away from socialism themselves towards a more toward a more market economy, that it would make their political system more open as well. And of course, we know that that has not happened, that they have been playing a very long game involved with looking far into the future with their geostrategic preferences in mind. And in some ways, we were caught flat-footed. And the past few years have made us recognize that. And perhaps COVID as well has made more people recognize this. They certainly haven't been forthcoming about the origins of the virus and when they knew about it. And those. So I think that China is obviously a threat. It's an important trading partner as well. Moving forward, I think across the political spectrum, most Americans recognize that we have to be more vigilant in how we handle China and deal with China.
And that is definitely, that's very important. Josh, you interact with young people on a regular basis, and we hear so much about indoctrination of students and I know a number of people that have sent their kids off to college and they have come back. The kids are flaming socialists. You're on college campuses. What are you seeing?
Yes. So there's no doubt that some of that happens. I do think that conservatives sometimes identify the wrong source of that, that it's probably not going on in classes as much as people think. That doesn't mean that people aren't trying to indoctrinate in classes. We know that there are professors who do view it as their job to try and indoctrinate students, but we do have evidence that those classes don't actually change that many students' minds. That students kind of go in, they realize they're being sold something, and they aren't getting the full story. But what does happen, I think, is that in the broader social environment of college campuses, you see it. So it's what happens in dormitories, in student life offices. Those are the places where a lot of that, the changes in attitudes is occurring. And so I think conservatives are right to be concerned that not all voices are being heard on campus. That's certainly the case. I've done research on this. We know that conservative professors are an extraordinary minority on college campuses, and particularly in the disciplines where politics really matters for teaching and research. That being said, I think that probably K-12 education is the place that we should be even more focused on. That's where the political formation is most important. And if you don't get that right, then college doesn't matter that much, or the changes in college that sometimes can happen are inevitable.
And that is very interesting. That's why elections really matter. Being involved, I think that we have been asleep at the wheel. And I remember for many years, conservatives bought into, people would say it's not polite to talk about politics or religion. And conservatives had the good manners not to. Of course, I've come to the conclusion, if you can't talk about politics or religion, what do you talk about? But
right. Sadly, politics has become so all encompassing, which is one of the goals of the American system was to make politics less important. that shows you that something has gone wrong.
Definitely. Joshua Dunn, fascinating conversation on this. We've got just really a couple of minutes left. How would you like to wrap this up? What's your final thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners regarding de Tocqueville and 2021 America?
Certainly. So the lesson that Tocqueville has for America, and really for any society like ours with a strong passion for political equality, is that a free society requires engaged citizens. There's really no substitute. There is no substitute for that. But if you want to maintain your freedom, you have to remain engaged. And that's not just voting. Voting in a way, it's important, but it's not nearly as important as other forms of political engagement. Things like going to your local school board meeting, going to city council, meetings, calling your state legislator, getting involved in other civic associations in your community. It's there. It's at the local level that the individuals learn how to be citizens, and they learn the passion to preserve their liberty. And so that's ultimately the lesson that Tocqueville has. Remain engaged. If you want to preserve freedom, you have to be involved. You can't outsource it to someone else. You can't just vote and say, I hope it all works out. So we as American citizens, there's an obligation that we have to get involved, to get to know our neighbors, to learn about what's going on in our communities, and then that will then carry over not only from the local level but to the state level to the national level.
And can we do it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely we can do it. I think this is America after all. People constantly, I think, underestimate the resources that this nation has. We have what you could call an immense amount of what social scientists would the term we would use would be social capital. We have it. It's there. It might be latent. It might be dormant right now, but it can be revived. It can be resuscitated, and we can certainly do it.
Willie, we're waking up. Professor Dunn, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And our quote for today is, de Tocqueville, he said, the American Republic will endure until the Congress discovers that it can bribe the public with the public's money. My friends, we are Americans. Today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.